Hi, it's Becky. Hi there. So first off, funny story. I woke up today and my computer just delighted in showing me a pop-up calendar alert of my own 40th birthday tomorrow. As you might be able to imagine, this birthday has been in my thoughts for the past few months to weeks, possibly years, and plenty of reflection has been happening about life thus far, life to come, all of the above. So anyway, in honor of marking this moment, I just want to start off this podcast with a little story. And I'm sure at some point down the road, I'll settle into a way that I start the show, but bear with me this first time around as I kind of baby giraffe about a bit. And don't worry if you don't know what that means, I will explain the term baby giraffe a little bit later. So first, let's just settle in, take a nice mindful breath in the nose, out the mouth. Did I do that as much for myself as for you? Absolutely. That's fine. So let me take you back 6 years ago to 2019. 34-year-old Becky. I was about 6 months into a year of uncertainty that would one day lead to an as yet unknown career change from K-12 education to personal training. I'd resigned from teaching middle and high school Spanish for the past 15 years. I'd applied and just the previous week interviewed for the JET program, which stands for the Japan Exchange and Teaching Program, to teach English abroad in Japan. But we wouldn't know if I'd been accepted to the program for another 2 to 3 months. I was super burned out from my years in K-12 education, and I was unwinding slowly from the daily life of teaching, something that only fellow teachers will ever fully understand, and something I still sometimes feel I'm unwinding from 6 years later. Aside from that, I was also following a ketogenic diet. If you don't know what keto is, it's a way of eating that involves eating a super high fat content paired with a super low carb content. I was tracking macronutrients for the first time. If you're not sure what macros are, I'm sure they'll come up at some point in this podcast, but protein, fat, and carbs, and basically a different form of calorie counting with a little bit more intention. And I was in a fat loss phase with my body. I discovered progressive resistance training in the past 6 months. And so the combination of eating intentionally paired with training intentionally led to experiencing body recomposition and the ability to manipulate my physique through strength training and nutritional awareness and application for the first time. So I felt like I looked better and kind of seemed healthier than I'd ever been before. But the irony was that I simultaneously felt more lost and uncomfortable in my life than ever before. Some evidence to this, it wasn't just a feeling. I was constantly looking for the next diet or program or coach or fill in the blank because it seemed like there was something more to learn or do. I never felt satisfied or enough. And that was true even when I reached 10% body fat. I remember literally looking at the scale, looking at the body scan and realizing, oh, okay, this must not be about my body. Bottom line, I just felt broken and like I needed to be fixed. And deep down, I knew I just didn't trust myself because I was always looking for answers from someone or something else, some kind of guru or knowledge outside of myself. So really, it was interesting because although I looked healthy and I got a lot of positive feedback from those around me, I look back now and I think about from a biopsychosocial emotional perspective, was that healthy? Even when I was at my lowest body fat and looked the best, biologically, was it healthy to cut out whole food groups and to eat next to no fiber? And unsurprisingly, I now see have a lot of gut issues. Psychologically, was it optimal to be experiencing high levels of anxiety, possibly tied to those gut issues? Maybe I had some HPA axis dysfunction because my gut microbiome was so off from how low carb I was eating and how little fiber my gut microbiota were able to get. Thankfully, I was taking time finally to address the psychological side of the equation in therapy, but I still had a lot of processing to do. Socially, I was coming off of more than a decade of an unsustainable teaching schedule, and I was realizing how hard it was to cultivate meaningful friendships as an adult. And emotionally, I had plenty of daily triggers, challenges, doubt, fear, uncertainty, and just general not enoughness getting in the way of living my best life day to day. But there was a shift, thankfully, during this year. So about 6 years ago, almost to the day, about a month ago, but about 6 years ago, I had been having lots of success, like I said, with my strength training. I thought that I had really found this kind of panacea for nutritional awareness. I now have evolved in my nutrition and am no longer keto, in case you wondered. We can get into that in the future as well. But I remember kind of having this moment where I thought to myself, man, you know, I can squat now, I can deadlift, I can do a bench press, and I can do these things with, I only had a baby barbell at the time is what I called it, because it was like a 12-pound bar in my basement in Ohio at the time. We have since moved to Orlando by way of Japan. I'm sure all those stories will come out too over the episodes to come. But the pull pattern, I could do rows, I could do various pulls, but I remember I had a really fixed mindset around chin-ups. And I remember thinking, man, it's so cool that I can do all these other things. I can even hip thrust pretty heavy now. And like, it's so cool to see that growth, but man, I could never do a chin-up. And it was just kind of a statement in my head. And then I kind of caught myself and realized, ooh, I wonder what would happen if I literally just took the period at the end of that sentence. I could never do a chin-up, period, and made it into a question mark and shifted that to, could I ever do a chin-up? Or even kept the statement, but just added the phrase, not yet. Like, I can't do a chin-up yet. Not yet. So anyway, I got kind of curious at that moment, especially remember, I'm a former educator here. Growth mindset is everything in the classroom. You would never just tell a child who's struggling to learn Spanish something like, yeah, you know, Spanish might just not be your thing. Maybe it's not for you. And no matter how hard you work, you just can't learn this language. I would never have told a child that. But I realized inside of my own head, that's the story I was telling myself about chin-ups. So I decided to shift that mindset to curiosity, to seek out a plan, and then to consistently apply action. And I didn't really have a clear expectation or timeline. I remember vaguely thinking, I'll practice this plan like 3 days a week as a little play, a little finisher to my other existing lifts. And, you know, maybe in like 6 months or something, I could get a chin-up. So I start practicing, and 14 days later, I got my first bodyweight chin-up unassisted. 14 days. And even as a former educator, I was completely blown away by that. I just realized how many gains I had been leaving on the table, not only in my training, but then zooming out, this was such a concrete example of growth mindset in action that I realized I could apply a growth mindset in any area and not leave so many gains on the table in my life. I could practice a growth mindset. I could be a quote unquote baby giraffe, wobbling around, figuring it out, not very good as I went until I got more and more reps and practice. And I could add consistency, and I could add permission to be a beginner, and I could stop leaving those gains on the table in my workouts and in my life. So anyway, fast forward to today. Here we are 6 years later, and I'm actually at the moment, I think because of this incoming 40th birthday tomorrow, I'm revisiting my monthly goals, starting with chin-ups. So one of my clients and good friends was recently working on a play goal herself. And when she shared with me and a few other women who do my program, Build with Becky, which I'll talk about a little later, it reminded me of my monthly goals. And I've always kind of had these monthly calendars, and I like to have a play goal that's something like that very first one 6 years ago of trying to get that body weight chin up. But I kind of ebb and flow. Sometimes I'm more into it than others. But as we talked about it and I revisited some of my resources to share with her, I found myself thinking, how neat would it be to go back 6 years later, revisit my monthly goals and try them again? You know, maybe they'll be more challenging. I'm 6 years older. My body's different now. But also maybe I know more now. I've learned more now. I have transitioned from being a classroom teacher to being a personal trainer and have my own business now. How neat would it be to bring that new awareness and wisdom into those past goals that I found meaning in? And the funny thing is, I'm still having to relearn and reapply my own past inner wisdom to embrace a growth mindset. And it's still the most mind-blowingly delightful, meaningful journey to embrace curiosity paired with consistent action to prove to myself in a concrete way that I have everything I need within me to do anything I want, to attack any goal I might have. So for example, a couple weeks ago, I restarted the chin-up goal. And you might be thinking, well, wait, didn't you get that chin-up goal 6 years ago? And yes, I did. But also, fitness is very much a journey. And this is something we'll talk a lot about on this podcast. Because I think I just had so many fixed mindsets around my body and food and training. And I think really there was like this invisible thought somewhere in there that I would reach some kind of optimal body or relationship with food and that it would just kind of be like, oh, there it is. We've arrived. Check. Which makes no sense at all, of course. I now realize now on this side of the equation as a coach, as a trainer, as someone continuing on my own journey of personal health and wellness, it's not as though you would reach this perfect body or relationship with food, put a nice, neat little check mark at the end, and then what? Go back to what you were doing before? Because like, let's say you did that. Obviously, if you go back to what you were doing before, you're going to go back to what was the case before. And you didn't like where that was before. You didn't like either who you were or the body or the energy or something. That's why you did the thing to change. So it's not that you get to some destination and check it off and feel like you've arrived and everything is perfect. It's much more that you get to a goal and you reflect back and you embrace the journey and set a new goal and you keep going and you get curious about something else and you layer that on top. And then over the years, you keep on habit stacking and layering and growing and developing. And of course, there's also dips and falls and struggles along the way. You know, it's always two steps forward and one step back. But if you zoom out and you give yourself enough runway, two steps forward and one step back is still one step forward. So you're always progressing. Anyway, all to say, in those 6 years, a lot of things happened. So what happened in the middle? Let me fill in the gaps there, because why would I need to go back and redo the chin-up goal? And I don't need to, but I'm enjoying it. So just in case you're a little curious about me, or maybe you know me from different phases in my life, but you don't really know the whole trajectory of those 6 years and what happened in the middle. So in 2019, a couple years after the story I told you about getting the chin-up goal, a couple months after, I was accepted to the JET program, and my husband, Justin, and I moved to Japan, where we lived from 2019, August, to 2020, 1 year later. So in the middle of that, as you know, COVID started. So we had 6 months of just kind of amazingness and then 6 months of COVID in Japan. And the interesting thing about COVID in Japan was that Japan led the world in terms of students staying home from school, but it was actually very short-lived. It was only for 1 month, and then the kids came back. Whereas in America, it was almost like about the time the kids came back. For us in Japan, schools like pretty much shut down for a year or longer in America. And also, even during that month that kids stayed home, we as teachers continued to go to school every day. So there wasn't a lot of work to do, of course, because the students weren't there. But during that time when schedules were a little strange and there wasn't much work to do, I leaned into what made me feel my best. And this was a clue now I see looking back. Sometimes this is a little tip looking forwards. If you're kind of looking maybe into career change or something new and you don't know what step to take, don't worry too much about that, but just know looking back, everything is, hindsight's always 2020. Oh, 2020, how ironic with COVID, but it really is. So sometimes you need to look back to get wisdom from your past self and clues about what your future self might want to prioritize or find enjoyable. In fact, I remember a friend of mine had told me when I was knowing career change was going to happen next. JET was really just a stopgap for kind of a bucket list item that we wanted to live and work in Japan. But I knew I didn't want to be in the classroom anymore long term. That's why I had resigned from K-12 teaching. So it was a stopgap. It was a year. It was an exploration. It was a bucket list item. But I knew I wanted to career change. I just didn't know what. And a friend had told me, if you know that you want to do something new in the future and you don't know what, think back to yourself at 7 years old and think back on what you really enjoyed at that age. And I remember thinking, oh man, I was, you know, in gymnastics and like dance classes, and I loved writing little books, and I would always be in the young authors competition and write these about the author pages that were very like Becky in the third person. You know, Becky loves, she's a third grader at Park Elementary School and she loves writing novels and that kind of thing. So then I kind of like thought forward, what would the adult version of that be? And I realized, what do I do at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m.? Around my teaching schedule that I always love and enjoy, work out? And what do I love to talk about with friends and family? Working out and nutrition and healthy lifestyle. And I realized something like personal training would be kind of an adult version of what I used to love doing, and sharing that via maybe a blog or social media content, or hey, maybe a podcast. So that kind of planted the seeds. And then COVID opened up the space. You know, the world paused. And I leaned into what made me feel good, which was working out. As I talked to friends about it, they asked me for help. And I literally started creating programs for people. And as I did it, I would research because I wanted to make sure that they were as evidence-based as possible. And as I researched, I realized, oh my goodness, this could be what I do. This is a career. I could get certified as a personal trainer, know that I'm providing evidence-based content, and I could essentially teach health and fitness and strength instead of teaching Spanish. And my clients could become my students. So many things would transfer. And it was like this light bulb moment when I finally had given myself enough space, the world had stopped and given me space, and I had just learned to trust myself enough to really believe that what I valued and wanted to do could be of value to other people. So that was kind of, you know, 2019 to 2020, we moved to Japan. I teach English as part of JET. 2020 to 2021, COVID happens, the world pauses. As we come home from Japan, I start studying to get my certified personal trainer certification through NSCA, the National Strength and Conditioning Association. That takes me about a year of self-study. And it's kind of good timing, to be honest, because I also finally address all these gut issues that I've been having that I referenced earlier from my keto days. And I realize, oh my goodness, these are not just gut issues. There was some of that. And I did address that with a functional doctor. But I also, once I tried to rule out a bunch of other health issues, because I kid you not, I had had undiagnosed right lower quadrant abdominal pain for 5 years. Yes, 5 years. We'll get into more of that, I'm sure, in the future. But just know, if you have some kind of mystery health thing going on, you are not alone. But I also learned to trust myself with that and keep advocating for myself. And lo and behold, we finally find I have a hernia. So fall of 2020, we come home from Japan, get the hernia diagnosis. I get a surgical repair. It was an inguinal hernia, which is kind of in the groin region. And we also put our house up for sale because we decided, hey, if we could figure out life in Japan, in a pandemic, I betcha we could also figure out life literally anywhere. Why not move to a sunny, magical place like Orlando, Florida, and at least be able to take walks outside during COVID? So we moved to Japan 2 weeks post hernia repair, and I study to become a personal trainer. And as I'm studying and I'm rehabbing from being, you know, post-op from a hernia repair, my body changes, of course, because, you know, before that, remember, I'm doing chin-ups, I'm hip thrusting heavy, I'm finding, you know, progressive strength training and going for it. And then here I am just pretty much paused in my tracks. The only thing I'm allowed to do for 6 weeks is walk. And even after that, I have to do pelvic floor PT, which, you know, leads into a lot of interest in what the postpartum and perinatal experiences for women. I get training in that later. And I also realize as my body's changing, oh, you know, what I'm not willing to do with my clients is something unsustainable or something that really lacks evidence, even if it could be effective through taking a shortcut. So as I realize I'm probably not going to recommend something like the keto diet to most clients, I have the capacity to wonder why I'm doing it for myself. And I had already kind of backed away from it. I kind of had to in Japan, you know, I had to eat the school lunch. It's full of rice. So I wasn't strictly keto anymore, but I still had a lot of fixed mindset around eating low carb and probably quite a bit of fixed mindset around that being the only way to manipulate my body composition. So as I saw my body change, I also realized I have some unlearning to do here, not just about maybe exercise methodology that I've been misapplying as I learn things about strength training, but also maybe about nutrition. So I take a lot of time to re-educate myself that year on everything from macronutrients to micronutrients to coaching around these topics, intuitive eating by actual registered dietitians, not just kind of what you see on social media. And I really unlearned some things and also learned a lot of body acceptance along the way. Then in 2021, I obtained my NSCA CPT, Certified Personal Training, from the National Strength and Conditioning Association, and I get my first job at a local gym. And for 2 years, I gain experience coaching there with a wide variety of general population clients. I remember in particular my first two clients. One was an older man and one was a 16-year-old girl. And the older man had chronic neck pain and the younger girl wanted to build a bigger butt. And I remember being so blown away again, really developing that growth mindset this time on behalf of my clients when I trusted the process with their program design and I used linear periodization, which is an evidence-based approach that NSCA promotes. And both of them, I made sure trained full body. I made sure they did all the major movement patterns, squat pattern, hinge pattern, push pattern, pull pattern. I made sure we addressed some accessory movements to support that. For example, he benefited from some balance work since he was a little bit older, and she benefited from, you know, just some fun accessory work for body parts that she had goals around. But all of them did the same thing, those two and all of my clients, frankly. And then we progressively overloaded, which just means we got them stronger week to week in some way. So we might have added a few reps or added some weight or added another set, and we would do that for maybe 4 to 6 weeks. And then we would revisit their goals and deload and start another phase of programming. And the thing that was incredible was that this 16-year-old got a bigger butt and the 60-year-old man got rid of his neck pain. And all of them met their goals. And over time, really in those 2 years, what I learned was that most people, unless they have some underlying issue going on, which, you know, raise your hand, I had a hernia. So I did have an underlying issue at some point that I needed to address. But even with that, apart from my acute recovery phase, most people, including even some people with some stuff going on, just need to get stronger. And as they get stronger, they tend to meet their goals. And as they meet their goals physically, they tend to want to support it with better nutrition and learn about that. And as their nutrition kind of gets streamlined, they broaden out and kind of like how chin-ups for me was this concrete example of growth mindset, their bodies and getting stronger in their bodies helps them get stronger in their life over time. And I saw that time and time again in my 2 years at the gym. And then that was kind of those 2 years where COVID was starting to, we were getting vaccines and people were starting to go back to work. And so kind of naturally, some of my clients started needing kind of hybrid programs where they'd come to me one day a week and they'd work out on their own or travel for work 1 to 2 days a week. So I started creating those programs and realizing that, you know, going back to my own roots, I learned through a virtual program. And that's what I had been making for friends during the pandemic. But now, sort of like I'm revisiting my monthly goals now with so much more knowledge, now I could revisit program creation with actual credentials and knowledge and evidence behind them. So that was the beginning of my business, BWB, which originally stood for Build with Becky and now has been broadened out to Better with Becky. So eventually, Build with Becky is my first product for strength training. Eventually, you may see Burn with Becky for cardio, Breathe with Becky or Be with Becky for mindfulness. So kind of stay tuned, different things may happen. But the first year of business, 2023 to 2024, I beta tested my program with about 10 to 12 strong women in my life. They could have been friends from high school, from college, that I worked with, that I just knew from various points in life, but all of them shared in common this capacity for a growth mindset. That was really what I looked for. And after about 3 months, I launched my product and it was very hands-on at first. I basically applied my lesson planning strategies from my teaching days on Google Docs over to program planning. And so I did a lot of things on Google Docs and YouTube and linking things, and it was very hands-on. And then at about the 1 year mark, I was able to zoom out and celebrate that progress with them. They all came to Orlando. We had a great retreat this time last year. And that kind of put a cap on that first year of being super in the business. And now this last year, 2024 to 2025, has been all about expanding and automating to work on the business. So we automated and made things much more sustainable by developing a custom app for Build with Becky. We launched that at the end of September, so it's been going for a few months now and growing as it goes. My husband, Justin, also developed something for me called Beckygram, which is kind of an Instagram dupe because I just noticed over time, especially in those last 6 years, that to preserve my own mental health, I do better and better when I spend less and less time on algorithmic social media apps. So I have something called Beckygram now. And now, of course, this podcast. And that was kind of the plan a year ago, was we can automate the program now, improve the user experience through this custom app, and in the same process, make it more scalable to help more people, but also clear my time, energy, and space to reach even more people in different ways, including now this podcast. So that's kind of what's been happening in the last 6 years. But here's the thing, it's kind of, you know, a takeaway to bring it all together here at the end. 6 years ago, that version of Becky, she didn't know that she'd become a personal trainer. She didn't even know the first step to take to explore such a thing. But she knew what she loved and she leaned into that. Notice I'm using that third person here, just like I did in third grade when I wrote about Becky the author, you know? So I leaned into what I liked and I got curious and I educated myself and I stayed consistent. And I just, whenever I wasn't really sure, the magical thing about giving yourself time and space is that you can just kind of tune in and pause and take a mindful moment, take a beat, take a breath. And in that moment, you can sense in yourself what the next tiniest step in the right direction feels like. If you learn to build that trust in yourself, if you learn to cultivate that growth mindset, if you get out of that black and white, all or nothing thinking and believing that you're broken and you need to be fixed. And remember, that's a journey. I still have to practice that every day. That's why going back to these monthly goals has been so meaningful to me. Because, you know, in the interim of those 6 years, I gained weight, I've lost weight. During my heyday at the gym, I, you know, kind of incidentally was back to the same body composition I was at with keto. just through sheer overtraining because I was so busy every day at the gym. And now I'm actually pretty close to that body composition again through intentional nutrition and training, but not through keto and not through overtraining like I was at the gym. And what all of these phases of life have taught me is that I need to embrace that growth mindset and I need to trust myself. And in fact, I'm the only person who really is an expert on me. So just pause with that for a minute. Maybe even close your eyes and say that to yourself. I'm the only person who is an expert on what I need. I'm the best person to give myself what I need. You don't need a guru. Don't you ever make me into your guru. Promise me that. There's a reason I use the preposition with in my business name. Better with Becky. I'm on that journey with you. So I'll leave you with these couple mindful moments and a little information of how you can follow and get in touch if you find this kind of message resonates with you. The first one is actually a Bill Gates quote. I've shared this with quite a few friends, but it really resonates for me as I build my business. So the quote goes like this: most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. And again, that's Bill Gates. That is absolutely true for me. In the last 6 years, I am a completely different person. When I zoom out and I give myself enough runway, in 10 years, even more. 10 years ago, I was day in, day out in the classroom, and I knew I couldn't do it for life, but I had no idea what else I could possibly do. Unrecognizable from 10 years ago. But in 1 year, I'm often disappointed in what I accomplish. Maybe you're with me there. Maybe you're looking at February thinking, damn, I really made some great resolutions in January and I'm like nowhere yet. And that's okay. You know, first of all, resolutions can be kind of toxic. Maybe the new year, new you thing is not the goal. But also maybe you just haven't given yourself enough runway. Maybe the change is already in the works and you just can't see it yet. Maybe you just got to trust yourself and trust the process. And then kind of related to that, going back to that chin-up goal, is just this thought, this mindful moment to take with you that the body will not go where your mind won't allow. I'm going to say that again. The body will not go where your mind won't allow. That sounds super simple, but I think it's actually the key to almost any goal you have. It was only when I added the curiosity of not yet to my chin-up goal that my mind allowed me permission to wonder, explore, try, to be bad at it at first. I wasn't a trainer yet. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew if I was consistent and I practiced that something would happen. I had no timeline. I had hope, but no real expectation. I just showed up and I showed up consistently. So here's the question for you. Maybe what's one area in your life that you might be overestimating yourself in the short term, and in so doing, selling yourself short on what's possible long term? Where could you maybe say not yet, or not I can't, but could I? And get curious. Curious, but not judgmental. If you watch Ted Lasso, you and I would probably have a thing or two in common. Each day is an opportunity to be just a little better. Not perfect, not in every way, but in some small area, we can choose to consistently direct our attention and our efforts and then delight in watching the magic of growth happen. Thanks for being here and listening. I hope you enjoy the show. Better with Becky is a podcast for anyone on the journey toward a stronger self and a better life. Speaking of that, real quick, Better with Becky is also the name of my business. I mentioned being a baby giraffe before. So let's talk about that for a minute. Better with Becky is the umbrella term for my company. And like I said, my first product is Build with Becky. After the first 2 years, I'm happy to now have a custom app developed by my husband, Justin. It really pays to be married to an excellent software developer. Thank you so much, baby. But stay tuned for those future potential products like Burn with Becky, Be with Becky, Breathe with Becky, Bites with Becky. Again, Better with Becky is the umbrella and the with is the key. I'm with you on the journey. I actually use my own app for all of my workouts and absolutely love it. That baby giraffe concept is built into the program and is actually kind of my philosophy as well, of training and of life. So basically, I'm convinced that when you set a goal or when you start something new, the biggest thing that makes you fall off or makes you unsuccessful is just going way too hard at it, way too soon, and not letting yourself be a beginner and be bad at it. So, you know, think of a baby giraffe for a minute. You know, just picture that. Close your eyes. There's a little baby giraffe. It's just wobbling around. Just was born. It's trying to figure out how to stand up. Its little legs are wobbly. It's wobbling around. Everybody loves a baby giraffe. It's so cute. It's doing its best, right? Nobody would shove a baby giraffe down and tell it to stand tall, faster, stronger, harder. But that's what we do in the fitness industry. We take these people that are so nervous to start a very vulnerable new goal, and we just throw them into med ball slams and push-ups and all kinds of things that are super intimidating, hard, and potentially going to lead to an injury. We'll talk a lot about all that too. But what would happen if instead we let them be baby giraffes? What if we let ourselves be baby giraffes? What if the first week of any new program, we only did a couple sets? We did it at a lower RPE, rate of perceived exertion, maybe just a 6 out of 10. We figured out what equipment we wanted to use. Maybe we like a bodyweight version or a dumbbell version or a barbell version. We figure out where that equipment is at home or at the gym or if we're traveling in a hotel gym. And we just practice it, just that beginner baby giraffe mindset. We go through the motions, knowing that the next week we're going to come back to it. And we're going to progress it. We're going to add another set, or we're going to add a few more reps, or we're going to bump the weight so it feels like a 7 out of 10. And the next week, again, an 8 or a 9 out of 10. And the next week, we're going to really try to come with our personal best and get that 9 or 10 out of 10, whatever feels safe, whatever feels doable. And we're going to celebrate the win. We're going to look back at where we started and where we ended, notice the growth, and then let that fold forward into another goal and continuous progress. Progress over perfection. Always something, never nothing. Building confidence as we go. And again, that's in your workouts and that's in your life. Let yourself be a beginner. Let yourself be a baby giraffe. Let yourself gain momentum. Know that you don't have enough runway yet to see the growth and be patient with the process. So if you want to learn more about how to get stronger inside and out, you can definitely follow along the journey. Of course, you can listen to this podcast. I would love that. You can shoot me questions for the podcast or about my program at podcast@betterwithbecky.com. I would be thrilled to get a message. I promise to respond. Let me know if you're comfortable with me reading something on the podcast. I would love to share it as well. You can learn more about me at my website, www.betterwithbecky.com. And you can also at my website follow my Beckygram, and you can sign up for a newsletter version of it in your inbox. That's at gram.betterwithbecky.com. And yes, I do have an Instagram dupe to preserve my mental health and to encourage others to preserve theirs as well. Thanks, Justin. All right. That's all I have for today. Thanks for joining me on the first episode of Better with Becky. It's so good to be here with you. Let's grow together on this journey towards a stronger self and a better life.